Good morning. You're listening to the service from Wallington and St Andrew's Cheam United Reformed Churches for Good Friday, the 2nd of April. The service is led by our minister, the Reverend Craig Bowman.
It was on the Friday that they ended it all. Of course, they didn't do it one by one. They weren't brave enough. All the stones at the one time, or no stones at all. They did it in crowds. In crowds where you can feel safe and lose yourself and shout things you would never shout on your own and do things you would never do if you felt the camera was watching you. It was a crowd in the church that did it, and a crowd in the civil service that did it, and a crowd in the street that did it, and a crowd on the hill that did it. And he said nothing. He took the insults, the bruises, the spit on his face, the things on his back, the curses in his ears. He took the sight of his friends turning away, running away. And he said nothing. He let them do their worst, until their worst was done, as on Friday they ended it all, and would have finished themselves had he not cried, "Father, forgive them." And began the revolution. Our hymn. My song is Love Unknown.
He is forced from their sight free.
Let us pray. This is the day when life is raw, quivering, terrifying. A day of numbed emotions, a day of blunt nails and splintered wood, of bruised flesh and red blood. The day we loathe when hopes are crushed. The day we long for when pretences fall away. Because the worst that we can do cannot kill the love of God. Gracious God, your love is a light in our darkness, vulnerable yet unquenchable. We would stand with Christ in the midst of the horrors of this world, where betrayal and death constantly threaten your love and peace. Amen.
The reading is from the Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 22, verses 54 to 65. Then seizing him, they led him away and took him into the house of the high priest. Peter followed at a distance, but when they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and had sat down together, Peter sat down with them. A servant girl saw him seated there in the firelight. She looked closely at him and said, "This man was with him." But he denied it. "Woman, I don't know him," he said. A little later, someone else saw him and said, "You also are one of them." "Man, I am not," Peter replied. About an hour later, another asserted, "Certainly this fellow was with him, for he is a Galilean." Peter replied, "Man, I don't know what you're talking about." Just as he was speaking, the cock crowed. The Lord turned and looked straight at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word the Lord had spoken to him. "Before the cock crows today, you will disown me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly.
They went out and followed him, those who'd sat with him at the table. He led them to a garden where he prayed while they slept. Prayed while they slept. Prayed while they slept. He was kissed, and because he was kissed, he was arrested. And when he was arrested, his friends fled, some to go into hiding, one to stand beside a bonfire and say, "I never knew him. I never knew him. I never knew him." Until a cock crowed. He was brought before the religious authorities and accused of the sin of blasphemy and of threatening insurrection. Having no power to deal with him, they handed him over to the state governor, who listened to the accusations and then asked the accused, "What have you to say? What have you to say? What have you to say?" To which the response was silence. He had said it all. He was not found to be guilty of any criminal charges, but because he was an embarrassment, it was decided that his own people should determine his fate. This they did by shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" He was cursed and spat on, whipped and humiliated, and on his shoulders a gift was placed, which he accepted with grace. Under the weight of this gift he stumbled and fell, stumbled and fell, stumbled and fell, all the road to Calvary. On top of a rubbish dump, he was nailed to a cross of wood and left to die, while soldiers gambled, critics joked, religious leaders smiled with satisfaction. And his mother watched and waited. Watched and waited. Watched and waited. Until in the end she saw a sign of the beginning. Let us pray. Gracious God, on this day we recall the suffering death of Jesus. He was despised and rejected, oppressed and afflicted, yet he was prepared to be wounded for our transgressions. We come, overwhelmed by the depth of Jesus' love for us, and his commitment to defeat evil, even when that meant his own suffering and his own death. In his willingness to make us righteous, he poured himself out to death, even death on a cross. In response to such love and sacrifice, we commit ourselves as his disciples to overcome evil with good, suffering with wholeness, and oppression with justice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
A reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 23, verses 13 to 25. Pilate then called together the chief priests, the leaders, and the people, and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who is perverting the people, and here I have examined him in your presence, and I have not found this man guilty of any of your charges against him. Neither has Herod, for he has sent him back to us. Indeed, he has done nothing to deserve death. I will therefore have him flogged and release him." Then they all shouted together, "Away with this fellow! Release Barabbas for us!" This was a man who had been put in prison for an insurrection that had taken place in the city, and for murder. Pilate, wanting to release Jesus, addressed them again, but they kept shouting, "Crucify! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why, what evil has he done? I have found in him no ground for the sentence of death. I will therefore have him flogged and then release him." But they kept urgently demanding with loud shouts that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave his verdict that their demand should be granted. He released the man they had asked for, the one who had been put in prison for insurrection and murder, and he handed Jesus over as they wished. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
One of the mob reflects. Jerusalem is our capital, the major city in our land. It teems with people at any time of the year, but especially at festival time. Jews from everywhere converge on Jerusalem to observe the appointed feasts. Our city is filled with crowds, and it doesn't take much to turn a crowd into a mob. A throng is a crowd in love. A mob is a crowd in hate. I've been in a mob or two. I was there when the mob raised its voice in hate. The city was packed with Jews here to celebrate the Passover. I was in the street late on the night of the feast when I saw a group of priests and members of the Sanhedrin making their way towards the Roman fortress of Antonio. They went past us in a cold rush. A number of people followed along, curious and excited. Something big was up. I fell in step, and from snatches of conversation I soon learned there was to be an arrest and a trial. Someone was going to die. We stopped at the gate and waited while the priest went into the fortress. Some of the temple police were there. Torches and clubs appeared and were passed through the crowd. A crowd draws a crowd, you know, and soon there were scores of us, eager, energised, expectant. The priests banged out through the fortress gate with a contingent of soldiers and led us out of the city to the east. Our torches made little light in the heavy blackness. We were swallowed up in the cool rush of darkness and stumbling, hurried excitement. We came to the garden and found the one they wanted. I was disappointed. I thought with the soldiers and the mob we might be there to surprise some outlaws. I was ready for a fight. But they were after one man who looked completely unremarkable. Evidently he was a rabbi who had been praying there in the garden with his disciples. He came to us with a greeting of peace. The man next to me pointed and said that this was Jesus the Nazarene. I recognised the name. He had caused some kind of trouble in the temple, and the religious leaders were determined to silence him. Jesus was bound and dragged from the garden back into the city to the palace of the high priest. Several of us got into the courtyard at Caiaphas' house. We grouped around the fires, trading guesses about what was happening to the prisoner inside. As the night grew old, I found a corner and sat watching the fire. I must have dozed. Suddenly I was awake, noise and confusion, pushing and shoving. We were on our way. Pressing through the narrow streets, bumping up against stone walls, we were heading for the fortress again. We stopped outside the governor's judgment hall and shouted for Pilate. The council had condemned Jesus for blasphemy. They wanted an execution. We had to make sure the governor would hand down a death sentence. Jesus stood before the governor, beaten and bloodied. But Pilate was being difficult. That ignited our rage. Pilate challenged us. I find no fault in this man. What do you want me to do with him? The chief priests led the chant. Crucify him! Crucify him! We picked it up quickly. Perhaps you have never been swept up in a pure hatred. Rage has a mindless strength that no power can resist. I shouted with the others, crucify him, crucify him, kill him, he deserves to die. All this for a man I did not even know. Pilate had the Roman soldiers scourge him. When Pilate stood him before us and showed us the result, we flew into blind frenzy. I could see that Pilate was shaken. He was ours. He delivered Jesus to us to bear his cross out of the city to Golgotha. Crowds lined the streets, mocking and jeering. Every hateful and spiteful emotion anyone had was spent on that man. He bled. He stumbled. He fell. Finally, the Roman centurion commanded a man coming in from the country to bear the cross for him. All the while, we cursed and railed against this Jesus. We finally made our way through the gate of the city and out to the place the Romans call Calvary, where common criminals were crucified, raised on a cross barely off the ground and left to die. The Roman soldiers nailed him in place and uprighted the cross, dropping it into a hole in the ground with a jolt. You could hear the Nazarene groan as the weight of his body pulled against the nails in his hands and feet. The mob spread across the hillside to watch. Most were men like myself, cursing the one on the cross. He had claimed to be a saviour. We taunted him, calling him to come down from the cross and save himself. But there were women there too, beating their breasts and lamenting him. You could tell from the agony in their cries that some were his followers, but our jeers drowned out their voices. The Jewish religious leaders were there, mocking him. The Roman soldiers ridiculed him. We wanted him to die. We relished his pain and suffering. A strange thing it is to watch a man die. A fascinating horror. There is no dignity on a cross, hanging there in public view. The mob feeling drained from me, and I was just one man, watching another man die. He was covered with blood and sweat. The other two whimpered and cursed and pleaded for mercy, but this man was different. He spoke from the cross, but not in anger, nor in bitterness. He spoke in compassion to one of the thieves hanging next to him. He spoke to a woman I guessed to be his mother. There were words to a man with her. There were requests to the soldiers. And as he hung there near death, he spoke toward heaven. I heard him call on his father to forgive us, those assembled in the mob. But how could he pray for our forgiveness after what we had done to him? How could he answer our hatred with love? Yes, I was in that crowd, part of that angry mob. We raised our voices in hatred. But the one on the cross answered our hatred with love and forgiveness. I don't understand it. He did not live long enough to remember my voice. But as long as I live, I'll never forget his. Our hymn. Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Are you there?
Let us pray. Cross-carrying Jesus, as you stagger on your lonely journey, time slips, worlds reel. Forgive us that we turn away, embarrassed, uncaring, despairing. Help us to stay with you through the dark night, to watch and to wait, to know the depths of your anguish and to realise that you carry us. Forgive even us. Love us. Forgive us that we get on with our work unthinking, that we gamble unknown with precious things. Cross-carrying Jesus, nailed to the tree of life, forgive us and grant us your salvation. Amen. And the Lord's Prayer in its traditional form. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 23, verses 32 to 49. Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the Chosen One." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance, watching these things. Thanks be to God for this reading from his holy word.
Peter reflects. He was bleeding, my friend Jesus, skewered to that cross like a piece of meat, great drops of blood trickling slowly to the ground, from his head, from his hands, from his feet. I watched, stricken with horror, numbed by grief as the life seeped away. And I asked myself tearfully, angrily, why? Why had God let it happen? Why didn't he do something? What was he thinking of? It seemed criminal, a stupid, senseless waste to let such a wonderful man die, let alone to die like that. And for a moment, my faith was shattered. In myself, in God, in everything. But then I remembered his words, just the night before when we had broken bread together. This is my blood shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. And even as I remembered, so that other time came back, there by the Sea of Galilee after he had fed the multitude, the crowd pressing round him asking for more. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. My flesh is true food and my blood is true drink. They had been a mystery to me until then, these words, hard to stomach, if you'll pardon the pun. But suddenly, there beneath that cross, I began to understand. Just a little, only the merest fraction, yet enough to help me realise it wasn't all in vain, that somehow Jesus was hanging there for me, for you, for everyone. I still ask why, mind you, and I think I always will. But I'll never get that picture out of my mind. That picture of Jesus broken on the cross. Why that way, God, and not another? Why not something less brutal, less awful, less messy? Yet the strange thing is he never asked why, not once on all the days I knew him. Oh, he'd have liked there to be another way, of course. He didn't want to die any more than the next person. But he offered his life, freely, willingly, lovingly, in the conviction that through his dying, we might truly live. Our closing hymn, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Oh.
go, blessed by the great love of God, embraced by the sacrificial love of Jesus Christ, and sustained by the empowering love of the Holy Spirit. Amen.